Welcome to Two Travel Dads Podcast. Here we share our favorite destinations, travel tips, stories from our adventures, and bring on awesome guests to share insights into their travelsome lives. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and check out our detailed show notes at twotraveldads.com/podcast-episodes. Hey there, welcome back to another episode of Two Travel Dads Podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Chris.
And today we are going to talk about the
Amazon rainforest.
Yes, the Amazon rainforest and our time in the Peruvian Amazon, not the Brazilian Amazon.
But they're kind of connected.
They're kind of connected. But a lot of people think about Brazil when they are thinking about the Amazon, but we went to Peru for it, and it was awesome. So thinking about that, where do you want to start? What do you want? How do you want to talk about the rainforest? Do you want to...
Well, I think it's all grounded in where we stayed, right? So I think that's critical to talk about first.
Yeah, especially because the whole thing about going to the Amazon and staying in a treehouse was what got our entire Peru trip, basically the seed planted and started anyway. So why don't you take it away and tell us about what you found, where we stayed, and what made it so awesome?
Yeah, well, thanks to Instagram, I found this really great, amazing place called the Treehouse Lodge in the Peruvian Amazon. And after doing some research and understanding more about this lodging, learned that it was an all-inclusive place that, of course, in addition to being in a treehouse, all of your meals were taken care of and excursions. And I think that was the best part. So to get there, it made it very simple because you just had to fly into Iquitos, and then they had a guide that picked you up, drove you, it was about like a 45-minute drive from the airport.
It was an hour and a half drive.
Sure, an hour and a half. I felt it like it was maybe shorter, but a long drive to another town where then you get on a boat, and then from the boat, they put all of your baggage on the boat, and then you're cruising down the river to go get to the Treehouse Lodge. So a really unique experience in that, one, you're staying in the treehouse, two, you've got planes and boats taking you to where you need to be, and then, again, meals all taken care of. But the most important part, and this is what we'll talk about, are the excursions,
yep.
Which, so many options and so much flexibility.
Yeah, but I think we should talk about getting there a little bit more, too, though, because really, it was such a unique experience. So you fly into Iquitos, like you were saying, and then they picked us up. They had a sign with our name on it, and we went out there. We met Edgar, who was our guide for the week, and he was the one who got us at the airport. And
just in case people are like, oh, I'm so excited to listen to this because I've got like my trip in like 2 weeks, maybe you do or not. Here's the thing. We landed, got into the airport, and we're like, where's our guy? We're looking for it like normal people would, like a sign that says Taylor, and you know, they're trying to find us. That wasn't the case. We saw one of the guys inside for Stewart.
That's true.
And there's the Stewart family, and they're like, okay, well, they got found, and we're like, where is the guy for Taylor? Nobody's there. Bob gets on the phone. He's like, trying to like WhatsApp.
On the WhatsApp,
because that's critical. They're like, no, your guy's there. We're like, okay, well, he was outside. So he was just right outside the airport waiting for us.
And literally the people who had their guide inside and then our guide who was outside, we were all traveling together.
We were all on the same bus, same van. Like, I mean, it was just kind of ridiculous. But because we thought we would have seen a guy just like the Stewart family got. But
that's okay.
Edgar was amazing.
Yeah.
But he was just right outside. So just sharing that in case you go and you're like, my guy's not here. Just go find
out. Just step outside, like literally walk 15 feet further. But no, so Edgar was there and he got us all loaded up with all of our luggage. And also because we did have a bigger other family who was traveling with us in the van to get to the boat, they actually put everybody's luggage up on top and then they covered it all just in case it started raining. Because, I mean, we're in the rainforest and you should expect rain. So they had all that already thought up. And then the drive was interesting because it was,
long.
But
they did stop at a grocery store, which was great.
So
that we could like get some water, some snacks, some journey.
But it was on very nice Peruvian paved highways. It was not what I was expecting for driving through the Amazon rainforest. It was actually like nice blacktop,
Well, and once you get to Nauta, it's like a huge city. They said there was like over 50,000 people that live there.
Which is really surprising. But it did look like there was kind of like a cool downtown-y area. And then you also see, you know, all the dirt streets with all the craziness and wild, like, everything happening everywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then we got to Nauta. And then when we did get on the boat, it was a very... So it was quite the steep staircase from the place above the river down to water level. And I think if I did not have good knees, I would have been quite anxious about going down the stairs. Mm. Just because I didn't want to fall in the river.
Yeah. Well, the other people who had different, like, body shapes and sizes were able to make it just fine, too, as well.
That's true. That's true. They did make it. Nobody fell in the river. And then we got in our, I don't know what you want to call it, torpedo boat?
a long, narrow metal boat with one seat on each side.
Yeah, it was like a fuselage. Yeah. And it just took us rocketing up the Amazon until we got to our little tributary that was just off the Amazon for us to get to the treehouse.
Yeah.
Pretty great.
It was awesome.
Once we actually got to the treehouse, it was we got there right before lunch. So we sat down with our guide and kind of got a little orientation. Trying to think about, my mind was kind of a blur because I was really tired.
Mm-hmm. So we got there and it was really great. It's like you go to the main lodge area in this one spot. So if you're planning, highly recommend the Treehouse Lodge. Anyways, we go to the main lodge space, which is the main dining hall. Up top, there's a whole space where you can lounge, like hammocks and stuff up there. They do have Wi-Fi, these types of things. But get to the main lodge area, and they've got a nice welcome beverage for us, some great local kamu kamu juice, freshly made, super delicious. And then Edgar is walking us through all of the different...
That's what it was.
The history of the lodge and the activities that are available. And basically, then we define our schedule. So yeah. It's like, oh, here's all the activities, here's the schedule. Best part is, yes, we defined our schedule, but so much flexibility, we changed it completely.
Yeah, and...
Without question or issue or any pushback.
Yeah, simple. Each treehouse or each family that goes has their own dedicated guide for the entire time you're there. So you're just coordinating with them, and then they'll make sure that, you know, you have a boat at your beck and call, or that if you want to do, like, a craft project or go fishing or something, that you've got the right gear for it. So that's really cool. Yeah,
they take complete care of you.
Yeah, and you've got one person who literally is dedicated to...
Two, actually. You have Edgar.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We had Edgar and Roger.
Yeah, our driver, local. Too.
Yeah.
But they are your concierge. They are your tour guide. They are your safety guide out in the jungle.
They are your subject matter expert for all things.
On everything. So, gosh, so what did we actually... How did we start? We started with... just doing general exploration.
Well, no. So if you remember, we did this. After we got, because I was so
tired.
It was a lot
of
travel. And if you remember, this is the last part of our trip. The earlier part, we were all sick. Blah blah blah. Lots of travel. Lots of not sleeping. We get there. We drink our kamu kamu juice. We fill out our activity list, and then it was time to go. We want to go check out our space, so we went out and we checked out our treehouse, which was super cool, and then we were able to go do our first activity.
Actually, our first activity was Elliot and I taking naps.
Was it? Okay, there you go. And then, oh no, that's right, because then we had lunch.
Yeah.
No. Before lunch, that's right, because we got to do the Amazon River, the river dolphins, pink river dolphin, like little trip.
I don't know.
We got back out on the boat. No, just right out there. Just
I'm listening.
Right,
I'm listening.
From the lodge, we got on the boat.
Yes.
Because this was before lunch. Got on the boat, and then we went and we saw just right off the dock all of the pink river dolphins that were just right there. We didn't take a long adventure. And then we came back, and all of that was super cool. Had lunch, and then, well, maybe.
No.
Oh, it was after lunch. That's right. After lunch, because then... we had dinner, and then after dinners, when we did the Cayman. That's right.
Okay. Yeah. So, just to clarify, nap time, and then we went out on a little river explore, saw pink river dolphins, saw our first monkeys, all that. It was a short one because we were tired, came back, had some dinner, went back out on the boat to look for caimans, which are this cool crocodilian that lives in the Amazon. And we saw the bats too. There was lots of bats.
So lots of bats. But what's most critical for people planning a trip to the Amazon is that, yes, there are mosquitoes. So I knew this and I wanted to prep and plan as much as I could for mosquito prevention. And I, when this was our first day that we got there, nobody was dressed properly, although I was, because I had all of my long sleeve and socks, and yet it was hot, but I knew that there were going to be mosquitoes. But we were doing a nighttime on a pond to go see caiman. And we didn't even spray down with mosquito repellent. So all this to say, make sure you do have, especially at night, your mosquito repellent, your mosquito gear. We've got, Bob can put some links to it.
Yeah.
These really great pullover hoodies that are basically like mosquito nets. Super helpful.
They cover your entire face.
Yeah. And
you look hilarious, but it's, you know,
important because the mosquitoes are no joke.
And it literally is just sunset, nighttime. Like that's the only time where it's a problem. Like daytime, it's awesome.
We didn't have a big issue in the daytime, but it was really nighttime. And I mean, we live in Florida and we've been to Mosquito Lagoon, which is a place where they had invented DEET. Tons of mosquitoes, so much more in the Amazon. I mean, it was like a blanket. You're just trying to shove them away.
But again, this is nighttime, not daytime when you're doing most of your activities.
And sorry, just real quick. I am a mosquito person. I hate them. I'm always watching out for them. At the end of the day, after the whole entire trip, even that night, I think I maybe had like 8 bites.
Yeah.
So not bad. Mosquito prevention is important, but 8 bites overall.
Mosquitoes don't necessarily love me. I think I had 4.
Yeah, well, they love 5. Me, so 8's not bad.
But yeah, so that was day one in the Amazon.
But the caiman, I mean, that was super cool because we were like, oh, let's get back. Like, these mosquitoes are absolutely insane.
But Edgar was insistent.
We gotta get out of here. But he had to find the caiman, and he did. He found him.
He found a cute baby, probably 2 feet long. And he was able to gently grab him from this kind of floating island and hand him to us. Well, we got to hold him and pet him. And
yeah. Floating island being, so you're in what they call like Oxbow Lake, and there's just basically a ton of plant matter in the lake, on top of the lake. So it's this, if you didn't know, you'd think you could just walk right out onto it.
You would accidentally
fall into the water. Which made it challenging getting in and out. Like, I mean, the boat skills of our guide, you know, Roger, were impressive in terms of how he gets in and out of these places.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And then I have to say, and this is how I've described it to everybody I've talked to about this, our first night sleeping in the treehouse in the Amazon rainforest, it was the best and happiest sleep of my entire life because it started dumping rain in the middle of the night.
It was torrential. Torrential.
There's nothing quite like sleeping in the rainforest while rain is just like ricocheting off of all the palm fronds, and all the birds kind of get quiet and then the bugs get loud. And
everybody's looking for that soundtrack already, and like we didn't even have to put it on repeat or fade or, you know, gapless. I mean, it was just an amazing live soundtrack.
And then you wake up and you're
moist.
Oh, I was just going to say you're in the rainforest and happy, but I guess
yeah.
You're a little bit moist too because the air is moist. Yeah.
You're moist. I mean, and here's the thing, in the beds were super comfortable, but it's funny. You only get a sheet, which is all you need.
Yeah.
But it's just a sheet.
Which is perfect because it's the Amazon.
You don't need more.
Yeah. And then breakfast each day was just this lovely, nice, like fresh breakfast spread before you go out to do.
True. But before that, I want to take a shower.
Okay. Tell us about taking a shower.
It's not heated.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see where you're going with this.
Yeah, so I mean, this place was awesome, right? And yeah, you get to take, you've got your whole bathroom in your treehouse, and there's a beautiful like shower, and we saw this stuff over Instagram. It looked amazing. Like, oh, people taking a shower and looking out, they're seeing sloth and toucans and all these great, like all this great wildlife. Nowhere does it say it's not heated. It's just air temperature, or you know,
which is ambient. Fine because
it's totally fine. It's super refreshing. So, but just,
and you're toasty warm, and when you it's kind of like when you dip into like a refreshing pool that isn't cold, but it's not hot, and it's just you get used to it. And
no, it's nice. I mean, this place also just runs off mostly solar, and then you turn on a generator and stuff at night, so it's all about conserving energy. And yeah, so not heated water. You can't like turn it on and like, where's hot?
Yeah.
So. That's all great. I wanted to mention.
Yeah.
Although it's still really pleasant.
And it's really lovely taking a shower in the rainforest and just being in the jungle
and seeing a toucan.
It's magical. Anyways, though, so I was going to just say breakfast is wonderful every morning with a nice big fresh spread of lots of different fruit and eggs and all that good stuff. And then every day, so how it kind of works with your schedule, you got an opportunity to do something at sunrise, something right after breakfast, something after lunch, and then like an evening sort of thing. So you've got potentially like four excursions or activities every day. And some of these take, you know, an hour and a half. Sometimes you're out there for 3 hours. So it kind of depends on what's going on. So
yep, they do it all around the meals, which are at
7:30, 1 o'clock, and 7:30.
Yeah, that's right. 7:30, 1 o'clock, and 7:30.
Yeah. So it's meal time. So everybody is on the same sort of like meal schedule, but you're not necessarily dining with other people, but you're all in the dining room at the same time, and you can chat with people or not. It's as involved as you want it to be, which is great because I don't necessarily want to get involved with other people. So it's nice to just be able to see familiar faces and then say goodbye. And then you get to go and do your own excursions without everybody that you're seeing at your meals. But I'm sure you could, like if you made friends, you could probably arrange for that. But we didn't.
No, the whole entire family, yeah. But it was just amazing. Super personalized experiences.
But then I think our first big highlight of an activity was fishing for piranhas. That was what Elliot was looking forward to so much since like way before we ever got there, was going fishing for piranhas. So we made sure that was our very first morning activity. And poor dude, all the rest of us caught piranhas and Elliot didn't land a single one.
Oh, he tried so hard.
It's
not hard either. All you do is you put a little bit of meat on a hook, and this is a line attached to like a piece of bamboo. You swish the bamboo in the water because I guess piranhas really like noise. So you swish it, make a lot of noise, and then boom, piranha hits the line. But
and you literally land them sometimes within like 2 seconds.
We caught like 9 and Elliot caught in total, and Elliot didn't catch one.
Yeah, so we went back on our second full day to do it again, and he got his piranha. Yeah. But it was kind of funny.
Well, here's the thing, though, too, is like, okay, yeah, we did the same activity twice, but it's you don't just go fishing for piranha. As you're going to go fish for piranha, you're in your boat, and you're stopping at all the same wildlife that you'll see, whether or not it be like macaws, toucans, woolly monkeys, moksaki monkeys, or tarantulas or bats, whatever's along the way, you still stop, but then you spend your time fishing. And then you do the same thing on the way back.
Yeah, and I think on that very first day, we saw 3 types of monkeys. We saw 4 sloths. We never saw wild scarlet macaws, but we saw the blue and yellow macaws.
That's right.
We saw all kinds of other cool birds.
I did see, though, a wild scarlet macaw because another guide found an injured one.
Yeah.
And they brought him back so they could, you know,
so he was kind of in the little rehab hospital at the treehouse waiting to get released. One of my other favorite activities that we did, so we did a lot of just boat exploring, going out. With seeing river dolphins no matter where you are, and then you either
so different than a regular dolphin.
Yeah, they're weird and they're difficult to spot initially because they don't have a big old dorsal fin like a bottlenose dolphin.
Yeah, they're definitely shaped differently, different sounds.
And when they break the surface, it's more like when a whale breaks the surface. It's kind of gentle and then just breaks and then they kind of go and then they go back down and it's rare that you actually see their full pinkness. It's weird. Yeah. But super cool. Well, what was I going to say? Oh, I was going to say one of my other favorite activities. So each time that you go out, you're kind of navigating the different rivers, whether you go all the way out to the Amazon or you're doing the little side tributaries. We were there during rainy season, so the water level was way high, which meant that we could go absolutely everywhere on boat instead of having to go on hikes through the jungle. Our driver was like, he was so adept at navigating through, you know, banyan trees, through strangler figs.
I don't know how we didn't get lost. Like,
how we didn't get lost and how we didn't die in the jungle, I don't know. But
it was amazing. Well, because our guide, he helped people navigate who weren't, like, you know, naked and afraid. So
that's true. Yeah, Edgar was
Amazon survivalist.
Yeah, so he has that sort of Hollywood experience. And then he took us out. But no, so anyways, so we had this really cool evening activity where we went out looking for a prehistoric bird. that was just
the
weirdest, most wild thing. And it was funny because initially I didn't really understand just what it was that we were looking for.
But Edgar's like, no, we're going to go see the prehistoric bird. This is what we're doing.
Yeah, and he said it like multiple times. And I'm like, what are you talking about, dude?
Hoatzin?
Yeah, so it's the H-O-A-T-Z-I-N.
Yeah, Hoatzin.
Hoatzin bird. And its closest relative, you know, they've been able to like trace it back. And its closest relative is the Archaeopteryx, like an actual like winged pterosaur. And this bird has, when it hatches, it has claws on its wings.
Yeah.
Like a dinosaur.
It's the only bird while it's young, right? A juvenile that can actually scale a tree. Like climb up a tree with its wings. Like no other bird can do that.
It's crazy. But this bird has like this wild looking reptilian face and spiky feather hair and all kinds of colors and the creepiest eyes and this weird dino beak.
The size of like a size of like a pheasant.
Yeah. And it's weird, but you have to like know where to find them, and where you've happened to find them is in the stands of these horrifying palm trees that are absolutely covered in
thorns.
Spikes.
It's crazy thorns and spikes. Like, you can't get in there. Like, the spikes are awful.
But our guides were awesome at knowing where to go, and we sat there silently, and then once our eyes could adjust, we saw the birds, and I'll make sure there's pictures of the birds in the show notes, because it's so wild and crazy. But that was one of my favorite things.
I can think of is a cassowary.
Yeah, right? Yeah, but it has the same colors.
Like huge, right? That, I mean, that thing's like monstrous. It's like the size of a pheasant.
But yeah, the same colors as so much the cooler. Cassowary, but this is like a weird other thing.
Yeah, but of course, the weirdest part is that their young have claws on their wings.
Yeah. Ooh, I was just trying to think about what other boat adventures I really enjoyed. And one of them was the day that we went and we were just kind of going through all of the stuff that was flooded. And it took us past the, we saw some sloths and stuff. And then he's like, hey, I saw a tarantula earlier. And they brought us back through the jungle on a boat to a spot.
I don't know how they see these
things. Yeah, where they had, like, where we had driven past a tarantula an hour before. And they found us a tarantula in the jungle. And then we kept going. And then there was this whole family or flock. I don't know what
group.
A group of bats that were sleeping on the underside of a tree.
They looked like dragon scales on the tree. The camouflage of these bats were impressive.
But our guides saw them, and it was awesome. And then, of course, there were sloths everywhere and lots of different monkeys. And
parakeets and toucans and all the woodpeckers.
And the black-collared hawks that were everywhere. And the laughing falcons.
Yeah, laughing falcons.
I made a long list of all the things we saw in the Amazon.
Red cap cardinal something.
Yeah, lots of cool stuff.
Yeah.
Wow, I feel like we could talk about this a long time. Anyways, though, what was your absolute favorite thing that we got to do when we were staying in the Amazon?
The favorite thing. Like, I mean, of course, like seeing all the wildlife was great, but the best part, because I felt like it was the most up close and personal wildlife, was when, again, we were on the boat and we wanted to see a woolly monkey, because you had talked about it and they're like, oh, you want to see? Okay, here's a woolly monkey. And so we just went off, like, basically, like, we, here's a treehouse lodge. We got, you know, on the boat off the dock, took a left for like 3 minutes. We're like, oh, there's a woolly monkey.
It wasn't even 3 minutes. It was less than 2 minutes, it seems.
And anyways, they were there. And unlike a lot of the other monkeys and some of the wildlife that we've seen that are very shy, the woolly monkeys were not. Uh-uh. I mean, they were not. Which was cool because, you know, they were very curious about us. So they kept getting closer and closer. So much so, I mean, that...
And Roger's really sitting there, like, footage. Revving up the boat to go backwards.
You know, Roger's the other guy. He's the boat expert. But they kept going, pulling us back, forward, back, because they're like, we don't want the monkey in here, because they probably would, you know, jump in the boat. But I think that was the coolest part, because that was the most up close and personal for wildlife. Other than the other cool part was just what we saw at the lodge, the rainbow boa, just on, you know, one of the handrails. So be careful where you put your hands. And the tarantula just right there, the stick bug, and the poison dart frog. And the toucan that I saw while I was, like, after, you know, washing my hands. I'm like, oh, my gosh, there's a huge toucan.
And then also the morning that we were leaving, there was that sloth right off the little suspension bridge.
Yep.
Like, Yeah. It all this might sound really overwhelming, like, oh gosh, snakes and tarantulas, this is not my jam. This, none of this stuff, this was not in our treehouse. This was like on the walkways, not like in a dangerous spot. I mean,
you're
where,
in a jungle, so this wasn't, yeah, it's not like a nice paved paths for you to walk around. I mean, you're in the jungle.
You're in the jungle, but you're walking like between the main lodge and the boat dock and all the tree houses. You're on boardwalks, or you are crossing suspension bridges that are nice and safe and maintained. So it's not like you're like wandering along the jungle floor.
You still have to be mindful of what
you do
doing.
Have to be mindful, but there's also lots of staff everywhere, which makes it cool.
Yeah.
And there's people there to help you with whatever you need. And like when we saw the boa, you know, more staff came out to like check it and make sure that everything was good.
And moved all the way up and then went into like the eaves of
yeah.
The, yeah.
Yeah. So it's just really cool to be so surrounded by wildlife and be safe.
I never felt unsafe.
I never felt unsafe.
The only time I was like, oh my gosh, there's all these mosquitoes at night with the kids.
Yeah, that was the one.
And
moment.
I wasn't unsafe, but I was like super irritated. And I'm like, ah.
Yeah. Yeah. The last thing that I was going to say.
But the food was the best. Sorry.
Oh.
Okay. I love food. And yeah, we ate in Lima. We ate in all these places. The food at this place for lunch. And oh my gosh, like I had some of the, like the best beef and in a, you know, red wine, butter. I mean, food was amazing. And with dessert every night. And they would, of course, custom make things if you needed it. So Elliot wasn't feeling good a couple days and they made sure to make his meal simple. Same with Bob. So just the staff and the food was top notch.
Yeah, that's true. And the desserts each time. There was
so
a
good.
Great dessert. So
a kamu flan.
Yeah, everything was good. I forgot what I was gonna say.
Sorry.
I know. It was something really important though. Oh well. Oh, I wanted to just hit on real quick that one of the cool things that we got to do that we got to bring home was we got to make blow dart guns.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of a random thing, but it was really cool because Roger is local. And so he brought from his village, he brought the right type of wood.
All the wood.
Yeah, the right type of wood for making the blow dart guns and the actual darts. And we all kind of sat around, you know, carving and whittling and just chatting and stuff, and then they prepped them the rest of the way, and then Roger was able to do some wood burning and carve out some cool designs on them for the kids, and they assembled them, and then we got to practice blowing them, and I thought that was a really cool, unique sort of activity with probably the coolest souvenir we've brought home from any place we've been.
I was gonna say the souvenir part is definitely the best.
Yeah it was awesome. Our 5 days at the Treehouse Lodge in the Peruvian Amazon were my favorite travel we've ever done anywhere. And we've done some really cool stuff. So yeah, that's my 2 cents.
Completely agree.
And cool thing is that we will be going back and bringing people with us. So there is information about that on the podcast page and on our website over at twotraveldads.com. So check it out if you're interested, and feel free to ask us all the questions because we could talk about it all day, clearly. Was there anything else you wanted to add about our time in the Peruvian Amazon? Or
no, just try Kamu Kamu, and if you're up for it, you know, the guide may show you how to find maggots that are super delicious.
How did we not talk about that?
And so he talked about it on our on the bus ride, you know, to Nauta before we even got on the boat to the Amazon. And he was so excited to actually find them because they're in this like fruit that rots and falls down from a tree, and the maggots live in there for quite a bit, and they grow and develop, and then you chop it open, and you could eat the most delicious, tasty white alive maggot. And I just said tasted like butter. I can't do it.
Neither could I.
I felt really bad.
We really let Edgar down. His face.
My bugs. That's, you know.
His face. He was sad that we would not try it.
But he understood. I told him the other day, I was like, sorry, I couldn't eat the maggot. I was like, I remember the lady on the bus was like, what if you don't call him a maggot? Like, I'm sorry.
No. Oh, good times. But you know what? That's just one of those super unique Amazon experiences that we were adjacent to.
Yeah.
Ah, oh, good times. All right. I think that kind of does it for talking about the Amazon for now. Stay tuned, though, because we also have podcast episodes just about traveling in Peru in general. And then our time up in the Andes, as well as other cool places like Lima and down in Paracas and all kinds of cool stuff. So stay tuned and don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and give us a rating. Share us with your friends as well. So, yeah. Thanks for listening and we'll talk to you later.
All right. Hasta luego.
Awesome. Two Travel Dads podcast is created by Rob and Chris Taylor in St. Augustine, Florida. We'd love to answer your questions here on the podcast, providing both our experience and stories to share our own insights into whatever you're wondering about. Visit twotraveldads.com/podcast-episodes to leave your questions and to check out past episodes and show notes. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and have an awesome day.